Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been so generous with us, and we pray as we think about our money today and how we use that in a way that honours you, we pray that you would help us to be generous people too. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few years ago I went away on a beach mission and I was meeting some guys, getting to know them, and one fellow was telling me how he had just left his job and he had started his own business. And so I said, well, why is it that you wanted to go out on your own? And he said, the reason he wanted to go out on his own is he was actually quite good at his job and he could make more money on his own. He was into internet marketing and he could make quite a lot of money by starting his own business and operating on his own. And so I started to think, well, maybe he's kind of been captivated by this desire for money, just to be a greedy kind of person, to take as much as you can. But he kept telling me about it, and he said, actually, my goal is to make as much money as I can. I want to make lots and lots and lots and lots of money so that I can give it all away. And I was really shocked, because who talks like that? He wanted to make all this money so he could give it away to ministry and to needy people. And people don't think that way. I was really shocked. You know, we live in the kind of world where people say, you know, keep as much as you can for yourself and give as little away as you can, because that's happiness. If you want to be happy, you have to keep lots for yourself and not give much away. And here this guy was saying the opposite. Can there really be any joy in trying to make all this money to give it away for other people? But as he talked, it didn't feel like he was under some kind of guilt trip. It didn't seem like it was a burden for him to want to do this. It was actually something he was really happy to do. He wanted to give all this money away. And I think that's very strange for us, to hear someone who thinks like that. But really, my aim today is I actually want to show us from the Bible, and I think this is very clear in the Bible, is that there's actually more joy in being generous than being greedy. We can be as greedy as we want to be, but you won't find as much joy as you can find in being people that are generous. And so today I want to talk about how we use our money, how we use our wealth in a way that pleases God. And I just want to say, if you're visiting us for the first time, we don't talk about money every week at church. In fact, we don't talk about it very much at all. But it's because we're in a series and we're thinking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus is actually interested in every aspect of our life. He's not just interested in the things that we say or the way that we use our time, but he's interested in everything, and so he cares about how we use our money. And it's actually Jesus who says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's Jesus that says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or what you will drink or on what you will wear, but sell your possessions and give to the poor. And so Jesus actually understands that the way we actually spend our money is actually a reflection of the relationship that we have with God. And so that's why we need to think about it. It's a really, really important topic. So if you have your Bibles there, I'd like you to open up to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 8. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul has been writing to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're starting at verse 1. And Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and he's writing to tell them that there's these other believers in Jerusalem, and they're actually in the middle of one of the most severe famines they've ever faced. And so he's asking the church in Corinth if they will give their money to them to help them in their need. But he does it in a... Sarah's giving me a strange look. She better explain. No, I'm preaching on chapter 8. Yep. Yeah, this is what happens when you write your sermons on Fridays. But we're in chapter 8 today. It's dangerous having your wife in the audience. So anyway, Paul's writing. He's saying, I want you guys to be really generous with these people in need in Jerusalem, because they're in the middle of a famine. But the way he does it is he talks about this other church in Macedonia. He says, look at the way that they've been really generous. And so in chapter 8, verse 1, he says, and now, brothers, We want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. And so he says that the generosity of these Macedonians, it's actually come from God's grace. It's not their own doing. It's come from God's work in their life. And then he goes on to describe what this grace looks like in action. He says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, they're in the middle of a severe trial. We don't know what the trial is, but when I think of being in the middle of a severe trial, I think about, you know, someone you love being in hospital, or, you know, you're going through a really hard time. It's very difficult to be at your work. You're going through the severe trial and you don't want to think about anything else. And this man comes along and he starts telling you about these other people in need. And you're like, I'm too overwhelmed by the own problems in my own life. I can't think about that. But they don't do that. Even in the midst of their trial, they're trying to be generous to these other people. They could have just said, hey, look, I've got my own problems. But they don't do that. And Paul says that they're overflowing in their generosity, joyful generosity, even though they're in extreme poverty. These should have been the guys that were getting the helping hand. But Paul says that in their extreme poverty, welled up rich generosity. And I think that's actually it's a real challenge to us, because often, well, think about where we live, you know. I love preaching here, because who gets to have such a beautiful view? We live in the best part of Sydney, and we probably live in one of the most affluent generations that's ever existed in the world. Many of us are in the top 1% of income earners in our nation. We're so well off. And then when we come to think about giving, often we think about, I've got so many bills, I've got so many expenses, the mortgage is up to my neck. There's no way I could possibly share what I have with these other people. I feel really sorry for their situation, but it's just so hard for me at the moment. And yet here are these people in their extreme poverty, and they're welling up in generosity. I think that's a real challenge to us. And then Paul goes on, he says, for I testify, in verse 3, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And so these guys, they look down at their budget and then they just totally splash out and they go well beyond what they should spend, and all the financial planners in the room are just cringing and they're going, that's not how you meant to do it. But this is a wonderful expression of love. When you love someone, you just splash out. And they see these people in Jerusalem in such great need and they can't help but blow the budget because they love them. And then Paul, he wants to say, well, it wasn't that they were under some kind of pressure. I didn't kind of coerce them into doing it. And so he says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. So they're actually begging to give their money away. Often we see people begging for money, and not all of those people are living on the street. But these guys are begging to give their money away out of their extreme poverty. They're saying, please let us share with those in need. And then he says that they did not do as they expected. They're not doing this to kind of suck up to Paul, the apostle who's, he's an apostle. They could be just trying to win his approval. But he says, no, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. This isn't some pandering for approval. They're trying to get in Paul's good books. And so Paul, he wants to encourage the church in Corinth to be incredibly, incredibly generous. And who better to speak about than these Macedonians who have been so generous in the midst of extreme poverty and severe suffering. They're joyful about giving their money away. And I think that's a challenge to us, because how often are we joyful when we have the privilege to give our money away to other people? And so Paul, in verse 7, says to the church in Corinth, now that you've seen how inspiring these Macedonians are, he says, just as you excel in everything else, in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Excel in the grace of giving. Be like the Macedonians. splash out in generous sacrificial love so that other people will benefit, excel in the grace of giving? How do you go in excelling at the grace of giving? How do I go in excelling at the grace of giving? We often have in our minds on growing in godliness, growing in the way that we speak to other people, that we might be more gracious and more kind, growing in our genuineness for the Lord. But do we actually ever think about, I'd like to grow in my generosity? Because Paul says, see that you excel in this. Maybe you're thinking, well, I just can't. You don't know what's in my budget. You don't know how much the mortgage is. You don't know all the things that I have to pay for. I have children to look after. I have to feed them. I have to send them to school. Well, that's right. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, if anyone does not care for the needs of his family, and especially his immediate family, he's worse than an unbeliever. You need to send your kids to school. You need to give them food. You need to clothe them. You need to care for your family. But we can kind of just use that as a bit of an excuse to harden our hearts and to say, I can't. Where Paul is actually saying, the Macedonians, they had all those things that they needed to worry about, but they excelled in the grace of giving. Will we just use our family as an excuse, or will we be people that excel in the grace of giving? And then Paul, he wants to go on and explain, well, I don't know if you're a little bit shocked by these Macedonians, because why would they be overflowing with generosity when they have no money, they're in a bad way? Why would they be overflowing in generosity and joy in that generosity? It's just a really strange thing. And Paul goes on to explain why in verses 8 and 9. And so he says, I am not commanding you, speaking to the Corinthians, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And so when we're generous with someone else, it's actually an expression of our love. And I've got a bit of an example for this. Imagine a man's daughter's getting married. He's a fairly wealthy man. And he says, sweetheart, you're so precious to me. You mean more to me than anything else in the whole world. Let's go out and let's go shopping. And so they go shopping for the wedding dress, and he pulls up outside that great store, St. Vinny's, and he says, you can pick off anything you like in the store, anything. And then he drives around to the church and knocks on David's door, and he haggles with David over the price of the wedding. And then for the reception, instead of splashing out on some lavish, you know, reception centre in Manly, he puts on a few sausages, and they eat off paper plates and drink out of plastic cups. The man says with his heart, sweetheart, you're the most precious thing in the whole world to me. You mean more to me than anything else. But when he spends his money, he says, you're just a burden to me. You don't mean anything to me. I don't really love you. And so when these Macedonians give, they're actually showing the sincerity of their love. They're just can't contain their love, and they show it by the way they spend their money. And it's one thing for us to say, I really care about those people in the world who don't know Jesus, and I long for them to come to know him. But our sincerity is seen when we actually put our money where our mouth is. It's one thing to say that my heart just breaks for the people who are starving in Africa, but we're only really sincere about it when we actually put our money where our mouth is. And as you know, many of you know, at the moment our church is in the middle of building some new buildings for our children in Sunday school. We had so many children here this morning, and they're bursting over the seams over there. And we're trying to raise the money for it. And I wonder if God might actually be using this building project as a way of just testing the sincerity of our love, seeing how genuine we are in our faith. We might say that we're committed to wanting to see people in our community come to know Jesus. But here's an opportunity for us to actually show that we sincerely love the Lord and that we want people to come to know him. Now all of us, we have different means. Some of us earn more money, some of us earn less. Some have bigger expenses, some have less. And that's okay. Sincerity will look different for all of us. We read about that woman who was able to put in just two small coins. And she was more generous than anyone else. She gave the equivalent of lunch money. But when the Lord looked at it, he saw someone who was overflowing with generosity. For some of us, that will be us because of the situations we have in life. But for others, generosity for us will mean giving much, much more. And so I want to ask you, how sincere are you in your love? And then Paul goes on in verse 9. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And so he says, you guys know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the way that the one who lived in heaven with his Father from all eternity came down, became a man, the way that he gave up the glory and the majesty that he could share with his Father, and he became one of us. He lived in the world, he suffered, people ridiculed him, rejected him, and in the end the people that he came to be amongst crucified him on a cross. You know that grace. You know the way that Jesus gave up everything so that our sins can be forgiven. And when Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, you've actually experienced that incredible generosity of Jesus, that he would give himself for you so that though you are spiritually poor, you might become spiritually rich. And so when Paul talks about Jesus becoming poor, he's not talking about him, you know, not having very much money. He's talking about the kind of suffering and the pain and the heartache that he endured when he went to the cross. And so when he says, so that you might become rich through him, he's talking about the great blessing that we have, the spiritual blessing of being his people, of being forgiven, of sharing in the kingdom of God. Jesus actually says in Luke chapter 12, you don't need to worry about clothes and food. You don't need to worry about what you would drink because you actually possess the kingdom of God. You possess it. It's yours. You are richer than anyone else could possibly be because one day you will stand there with God himself and you will be in his kingdom. And so Paul, when he says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. He's actually saying, out of the incredible generosity that God has given to you, give to other people out of that. As Christians, we know what it is to be under the weight of our sin. We know what it is to not be forgiven and how horrible that feels. And we can identify with other people in need, whether they're people that are starving. We know what it is to be in need because we know the poverty of our own spirituality. And we know the poverty of other people who don't know Jesus. And so we give freely and generously because we want them to share in the generosity of God. And so I said a little while ago that I wanted to show to you that it's actually a joyful thing to be generous. It's more joyful to be generous than it is to be greedy. And what I think verse 9 actually tells us is that if God wants us to be joyfully and lovingly generous to the extent that he's willing to send his own son to create that in us, then our greatest possible happiness has to be to give generously. If he would send Jesus to die to make us people that know what it is to be generous, then the greatest joy has got to be to be people that are generous, not people that are greedy. I'm not sure if I'm making any sense at the moment, you know. A nod of the head would help, but it's a couple of nods. Oh, I'll try a little bit better. But I think we need to ask ourselves, how generous are we? If Jesus would give everything for us, if he's the ultimate example of generosity, then how generous are we with what he has given us? So through this week, I was I found some statistics, household expenditure statistics there, how much money the average household spends, not the individual, but the household. And apparently the average Australian family spends 0.5% of their income on charity giving. Most people in the kind of medium range category spend $344 on charity a year. That's how much the average Australian household gives, not an individual, but a household. But then when you go down through the list, you actually realise that we spend $445 on pet food. And so the average Australian cares more about feeding Fluffy than they care about poor people in Africa. We spend more than double our charity giving on confectionery, on chocolates, on ice creams, than we actually spend on being generous to other people. We spend more than 4 times as much on wine and alcohol, and we spend 10 times as much on takeaway food and eating out at restaurants. We live in a nation that although we might claim to be generous people, we're not very generous at all. We're more concerned about food and clothing. We're more concerned about looking after our pets than we are about caring for the really needy people in the world. Yet, I know that many of you are far, far, far more generous than that with your wealth. You're not like the average Australian. You give much more than that. But it will be worth asking, well, how generous are you? How generous am I? Can you sincerely say that you love the people in the Horn of Africa as much as you love your pets? Or do you love them even more? Jesus said that we're to love our neighbours as ourselves. But if we lavish more on ourselves when we go out to restaurants and we go on holidays than we ever give to anyone else, do we really love our neighbours as ourselves? Jesus, he didn't spare any expense. Though he was rich, he became poor for us, so that we might be rich through him and we might be a blessing to other people. But it could just be that maybe we are in danger of dishonouring Jesus because we're holding back. We could be far more generous, we could be far more wise in the way that we spend our money, but we're actually just spending it on ourselves. And so, Paul, he shows us the Lord Jesus because he wants us to see how generous God has been with us so that we would be generous with other people. And then in chapter 9, which was read out to us, he actually says, well, what will happen if you be generous? Will you just give away your money and never see it again and that'll be the end of it? Is that all that will happen? Well, he actually says that when you're generous, it actually produces joy in other people, not just that they've received your money and great, thanks very much for that, but it actually causes them to thank God and to praise God for the way that the gospel has been at work in your life, and because of that, you've given to other people. And so I think what a great privilege it might be that one day, if, say, for example, you give to some mission work and there you are and you're in heaven, and the missionary that you've given to comes over and they say, John, I want you to meet my friend over here. Actually, the reason that they're in heaven today is because you counted Jesus more precious than anything else and you gave your money so that people would come to know him. And so you're getting introduced to this person who, humanly speaking, wouldn't be in heaven unless you gave that money. What an incredible joy that must be. That it's more... there's more joy in being generous than being greedy. Because no one will ever praise you for being greedy. You won't be standing in heaven with all your money to yourself. And no one will come up and praise you. They'll say, thanks for nothing. But if we actually give our money generously so that people will come to know Jesus, and so the people that God cares about in need will come to know his blessing, then people in this life will praise God and people in eternity will praise our God. And so that's what Paul is talking about in the end of chapter 9. And so that guy I spoke about in I met on Beach Mission, who was actually trying to learn lots and lots and lots of money so that he could give it away. I think he's actually onto something, because he knows that there's actually real joy in being generous, lasting joy, eternal joy. But there's actually not much joy in being greedy. He could have just earned all that money for himself, but that would not bring him happiness. And so Paul says in chapter 9 that he wants us to give cheerfully. And I'd really like to encourage you to think about, if you know how gracious Jesus has been to you, how generous he was in giving his life for you, if you know the joy of being forgiven, then why don't you cheerfully think about how you can spend your money in a way that would please him? Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your Son, the Lord Jesus, was so generous that he gave his life for us. And we pray that you might help us to understand how generous he has been, and that you would help us to respond with willing hearts. We pray that you would help us to be wise in the way that we spend our money, but we pray that you'd also help us to give out of joyful love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.